Our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, honest reports that when he entered Medina, every single thing in Medina illuminated. And then when he died, everything in it became dull, dark. And as soon as they finished burying him, as Anas mentions, their hearts began to grieve due to love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed, those who lived with him loved him dearly, to the extent that they would not care if their necks were cut off, as long as not one thorn pricked Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask the Almighty Lord that He unites us with the prophets, the saints, the righteous, and the truthful on the day of resurrection. Tonight, insha'Allah ta'ala, I was approached by some brothers reminding us that we were on a certain strategy last year, which is 4 weeks on, which is lessons, and 1 week open forum, which is the fifth week. Every fifth week is an open forum. And I said, please, can you once again? I said, not a problem, insha'Allah ta'ala. However, as I was in the bookstore, I was flipping through some books, and my eyes caught this book, which is only a small little summarized book, which consists of approximately 10 pages. However, there are golden rules, issues regarding the intermingling between the two sexes. And seeing that our previous lessons related to this topic, which is the devilish arrows of Satan and how to destroy it, we will inshallah ta'ala like to mention the issues that these scholars have mentioned and explain very briefly each issue regarding the prohibition of mingling between two sexes, what is allowed or what is not allowed. So inshallah, we will try to do this very quickly, and then we will inshallah open the room for discussion. And we should understand that this is the work of the scholars, most of the scholars. In other words, the majority of scholars' opinion is mentioned in here. So we'll begin inshallah ta'ala. As the author mentions, it should be borne in mind that the following forms of ikhtilat, which is mingling, mixing males and females, the following forms of ikhtilat are forbidden, not disliked, listen carefully, are forbidden. Let us see number one. Number one is women mingling with their paternal male cousins, or women mingling with their maternal male cousins. In other words, both types are haram. You are not allowed to mingle with your cousins. O lady, dear beloved sister, dear beloved brother, it falls on you as well. You are not allowed to mingle, to mix with your male relatives, nor are you allowed to mix with your female relatives without any exemption. Meaning, if you go to a gathering, you don't say, they're my cousins, it is all right, I can sit, talk, laugh, joke, and play with them. You are not allowed to do this. You are not allowed to do this. An Islamic sitting segregation is that the males sit separately and the females sit separately. They do not mix together, one big bunch, collectively, as though they're all maharim on each other. Any person that is not your mahram, keep far away. Keep far away. Even though he's your cousin, even though she's your cousin, because you are allowed to marry this person. And any person you are allowed to marry, they could be ignition there from Satan. He could ignite the forbidden gaze and thus lust instinct desire will be created in that heart of yours. And all these weeks that passed, the last 3 or 4 weeks, will be mentioned in this, warning against this. So do not say, "They're my cousins, there's no problem." There's a major problem there. A major problem. Your cousins you can marry. So you are not allowed to mingle with them with the excuse, "Oh, they're my cousins, they're my blood." Blood is death, it's destruction. And it could lead to all illicit promiscuity. Number 3, the wife's mingling with her brother-in-law. And that, as we mentioned last week, as the hadith says, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالدُّخُولَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِنِ الْأَنصَارِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَرَأَيْتَ الْحَمْوَ فَقَالَ الْحَمْوُ الْمَوْتِ. Beware of approaching, sitting in audiences where there is only woman or woman. And a man from the Ansar said, "Ya Rasulullah, what about the brother-in-law, the in-laws?" He goes, "That is death. That is destruction." And how many people today are lenient towards this? "But it's only my brother-in-law." Or the husband, "He's only my brother." He can take her out, for example, on a journey to the doctor. He can take her shopping. He's allowed to enter my house. My brother is not allowed to enter my house when I'm not home. His house is like my house. This is the poison arrow that he throws at you. That my brother, he cannot enter my house when I'm not there. It's his sister-in-law. It's my wife. He's my brother. Big deal, they say. Big deal? You can lead that person and that person, both of them, to destruction. That's why the hadith says, "Al-hamwu al-maut," death, destruction. It can lead you to an eternal punishment if you're not careful. There is no leniency here. There is no leniency. Your brother can end up being with your wife in the worst of ways. And how many times has this happened? How many situations and cases that come to you and say, "Wallah, my brother done this to me." Well, of course he did this to you. You allowed him to do this to you. You allowed him. You've given him the key to do this to you. Why did you allow him in the house without you being there? "But he's my brother." If he's your brother, but take the advice. Take the golden advice from this beautiful narration. There is no excuse. There is no excuse. You will be the cause of this. And you will be considered a person, the husband, if he allows his brother to enter the house while he is not there, while his wife is there, you will be called a dayyuth. And a dayyuth is the one who does not care whether men talk to his wife, she talks to men. This person in English is called a what? A cuckold. A dayyuth. And he's cursed. And as the hadith mentions, he will not enter paradise. When a man allows his wife to be talking with other men, men talking to her, not a problem. They're my brothers. Or they're my cousins. Or they're my friends. She's your wife. She's your wife. She's a weak person. They're weak people. Anything could partake, anything. The venom of Satan is powerful. It's powerful. If you are not careful, you do not take care of that precious pearl of yours, that ruby, you could lose her. You could easily lose her. Because the poison arrows of Satan are very, very sharp. Are very sharp. Number 4. The wife's sisters mingling with her husband. And this is another case that we see in our society. Amongst us Muslims, I'm talking about, not the kuffar. The kuffar are kuffar. Who cares what they do? They do the most evil, filthy things. But they're not accounted for because they're not Muslims. We don't look at them, we look at ourselves. How many sisters of the wife talk to the husband? To him, it's his sister-in-law. Oh, it's only my sister-in-law. I can chat, I can play with her. There's a game that's called Bull Rush. I don't know if you've heard it. It was in my days, in my olden days. And Bull Rush is a game that we used to play where you can fight and wrestle with the person, and whoever puts the other down first, he has to race to the end of the line, and come back to the place when you put the person down. Now, this is played, I actually witnessed this being played by sisters and brothers on one occasion when I approached them. Now, the sisters here were the sister of the wife. She was playing with her brother-in-law. And I said, "What are you doing?" To the brother who was playing with the sister-in-law. "She's only my sister-in-law. It's not a problem. She's only 16, 17 years old." 16, 17 years old? That is the worst of ages. He goes, "But khair inshallah." "What khair inshallah?" "Of course it's khair. But what you are doing is not khair." And he tried to justify his actions and this and that and whatever. This is destruction. This is evil. This is un-Islamic. It's not allowed in Islam. Because she's your sister-in-law, does not permit you to go and play with her, touch her, go out with her, take her to the shops or to the doctor. "Oh, she's my sister-in-law." She is not allowed for you in any way to be alone with you, to talk only when you have to talk to her. Even to talk to her, you have to have a reason to talk to her. This is the misconception that we have allowed it to be without understanding or rectifying this problem. "It's only my sister-in-law. I don't want to know more than that. I don't want to know it's haram." It is haram. It is haram. And know it's haram. Keep away from this. You have no reason to talk to her? Don't talk to her. You have no reason to see her? Don't see her. That's the way it is. This is Islam. You want to be Muslims? Be Muslims. You don't like this talk? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees what we are saying tonight, and tonight you are judged. So you came, walillahi alhamd, this has been passed on to you. You are accounted for it because now you are not ignorant no more. You are no longer ignorant. May Allah help us all. Number five. You know, I can see some brothers about to stand up and go. They don't want to continue the whole session. Is there anything more beautiful than light, the light of Islam? Number five, the mingling of a woman's brother with the sisters of his foster sister. And this is one that many people have not understood because they don't understand the situation of fosterhood. Foster relations is of two types. Understand this very carefully. You got one type, which is the parents have a daughter, have five daughters. You're born, a male was born. The mother of these five daughters allows him to suckle her, breastfeed, in other words, from her. How many times? Five times. Five separate different times. This young lad, young child, breastfeeds from this mother five different times. She becomes his foster mother. Foster mother. He becomes her mahram. Every single person in her family is related to him through foster relation. Is that understood? The five daughters that she's got become his foster sisters. He is allowed to be independent. He is allowed to talk to them. He can take them out wherever they want on their own. He is not allowed to marry them. Likewise, his foster mother, her sister, which is his auntie, she is likewise his foster auntie. Everyone in her family becomes related to this child. Is this first scenario understood? The second picture is, you were born, you see a mother who's only a foster mother, but not the real mother of that child. In other words, you, a male, another girl was born, she, a female, two of them. At the same time, suckle from that lady. It's not their real mother. It's not their real mother. She's only a foster mother. She breastfeeds both of them. When they each had five suckles each, they become sister and brother, even though they're not related before that. They become sister and brother. However, if she has sisters, they are not your foster sisters. Is that understood? Or the scientist understands it, because a scientist, he's got that intellect, but some of us haven't got that intellect. Is that understood? Is that understood? I'm going to ask one of you to explain. This scenario, there is no relationship with that mother at all. She is the mother, his foster mother. But that child, because it's not from the same, it's not her blood child, her sisters do not become related to that boy. It's only her directly and no one else. But the foster mother, her sisters, her brothers, her family, grandpa, grandma, they become related to this child. I have this understood. So the Shaykh is referring to which situation? To the latter one, which is the sister of the one that is not directly blood to that mother. Number six, the man who has proposed being alone with his fiancée, he's going out with her, and her talking to him before the marriage contract is conducted. A man is only allowed to look at his fiancée in the presence of her wali, which is her father, her adult brother, her adult son, and so forth, when he has firmly decided to marry her. Another situation today where you see many people committing bid'ah, as soon as a person's interested in a lady, he goes to the people's house, and what do they do? Al-Fatiha. So Al-Fatiha is conducted. Now they believe that Al-Fatiha, Al-Innovation, they believe it to be what? To be a contract. A contract. This is not a contract. This is not a contract. It's a syncact. A syntact. That's what it's called. And not only that, it does not allow you, under any circumstance, to be allowed with this person after Al-Fatiha. There is no allowance whatsoever. Why are you laughing like that? You're making me laugh. So here we get this problem today, which has arise, which is what? You see, many brothers, for example, la khalas, I can take her out, I can go out with her, I can talk to her, I can this, I can that, I can whatever, because Al-Fatiha has been conducted. This is not allowed. You have no right over this lady until the marriage contract has been done. And what is the marriage contract? You have a sheikh, you have two witnesses, you have the wali of the person, and then you do the contract. You mention the dowry, you mention the conditions. You are allowed after that to be with her alone, talk to her, take her out, do whatever you want, because you are married now. But as for the first situation, you are not allowed to be alone with her. You are not allowed to take her out under any circumstance, because the contract is not binding. Because it's not a contract. It's only a verse that is recited in A, improper place and area. Understood? Alhamdulillah. Number 7, the groom ascending an elevated bridal platform or stage with his bride in front of other women on his wedding night. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And I'm pretty sure we all witnessed this in our past, in our hooligan days. We've witnessed this. But in our Islamic days, can we witness this? Of course we cannot witness this. Haram. Where you see, especially the Lebos amongst us, where you see, tabarakallah, the bridegroom dressed up with a nice suit, greased up hair, nice tie, his wife is on the ascension, on that big throne, and then he is presented before all the women, and he sits with her. This is haram. You are not allowed to do this. You are not allowed to be anywhere in that place where there are women of such en masse. You must be away in the men's section. They are in the ladies' section. And this is the way it is Islamically. But to go and go before the woman and confront them, this is an un-Islamic approach and you are committing a sin. Likewise, number 8, the ascension of the relatives. The groom and the bride on an elevated bridal platform or stage in front of other women. And likewise, you get many times where the relatives all come and they want to sit with the couple on each side and in front of all the women. This is haram. A man is not allowed to approach or confront the ladies under any circumstance, even if they're veiled. For him to be there is not a proper place. This is a woman's section. What are you doing there? You want to be a woman? You can go there. But you are not a woman, so keep out of there. It's out of bounds for you. It's haram. Even the husband, the bridegroom, to be. For him to be there, he should understand better. Even if they were to chain him or shackle him and try to drag him into that place, he is not allowed. Say, أعوذ بالله. تقو الله عز وجل. Fear Allah. Fear Allah, keep in the boundaries of Allah Ta'ala, and keep far away from this. This is the one who fears Allah Ta'ala. No, wallah, it's only the night, it's all right, khair, mashia. There's no mashia here. You get many people, for example, when there's music, or, you know, he's a fearful person, he's a pious person, but he says, but, you know, the mother-in-law, the father-in-law, they want this, it's only the night, inshallah, it's all going to be over. What's going to be over? Haram? It's all going to be over? What if Allah quakes the earth before your very feet? Is it over? It is never over. That incident that partook that night is always there. It's recorded. It's recorded. It can never be over. It can never be over. Do not take minute issues to what you believe minute. It's easy. This is severe. This is severe. There is nothing minute in Islam, haram, minute haram. So it is not over. Keep far away from this. No music, no mixing, no platform, no being there, final. You don't like this, my love? Keep away from me. You're not a righteous person. So it is. You don't agree with this, the Islamic law, the Islamic tenets? Keep away from me. I don't want you. Man awwal at-tariq afdal min akhir at-tariq, they say. The start is better than the last. And then when you have kids, you have this, you have that, and then, Allahumma musta'an. She drives you into a mental institution. Because it's only the night. That night entails and entails and entails, and anything can break loose after that. Likewise, the bride herself, if it's the man's like that, if he's a cuckold and he wants to allow his wife to do or expose herself in front of men or have music, she's not allowed as well. And if she sees this deficiency from him, put it this way, I would never allow my daughter to be with a man like this from the first of stages. Using male servants in the women's section at parties in some of the hotels, as is the case at some wedding parties. And this is another situation that we see, that they say they're only waiters and they're not a problem, they're hosts. This is a major problem. This is a major problem. And if you know of this, then thus you allowed your wife for your female responsibility to be in that place, you are considered a youth, so beware. Some women mingle with men who are not directly related to them under the pretext that they are from the same tribe or extended family. That is like the clan or the tribes, that because they believe they're from one clan, then it is not a problem to allow the mingling to partake. This is haram. It is exactly the same as the paternal and maternal cousins mentioned earlier. Number 13, being lax about allowing teenage girls to mingle with young men or older men who are not related to them by claiming that they are still young. This is very, very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. Brothers, sisters, you have daughters. You have sons of age which is adolescence. This is a very, very crucial age, a very dangerous age. How are you able to see men around your daughter at the age of 15, 16, 14, 17, 18 with the excuse they're only young, they're teenagers? This is not allowed. It is not Islamic. Do not take this lightly. Men use them as prey. Men today are like predators towards women. And that's the reality. There are many evil people out there. Do not take these issues lightly. Take them with full conviction and acceptance. Acknowledge the situation and implement what you hear. For when you know this, and you do otherwise, you are judged for it. You know, how can we allow our 16-year-old or 15-year-old daughter, who's just a flower that has not opened up, to be with men, to be with young men, older men? Is this logic? It is dangerous. Very, very dangerous. When Asma ibn to Abi Bakrin, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, when she entered in Muhammad's room, he saw her with clothes that were transparent. You can see through. He goes, "Ya Asma, when a woman comes of age, she is not allowed to show except her face and her hands." In other words, cover yourself. You're of age now. She could have been 12 years old, 13 years old. So he warned against this. And like I said today, it is very, very dangerous regarding the issues of teenage children. Beware, because a lot of young men like to experiment things they haven't before, and they prey on young girls like them. If not them, the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the older men. So be careful, she's your daughter, and treat her like a precious golden thing. The taxi driver or chauffeur being alone with a woman in the car. This is not allowed. Oh, taxi drivers, you are allowed to taxi drive. But when are you allowed to taxi drive? When you are doing it in an Islamic way. You must understand the etiquettes of taxi driving. And it is very basic and simple that you do not do haram. How easy is that? And among the haram is when you allow a lady in the car on her own. You're saying there are people around you in driving in the car as well. This is the excuse that is mentioned by the majority of taxi drivers. But there are cars just side by side, in front and behind me and whatever. In your independent here, you're alone with her in the car. You're underneath the same ceiling. It's enclosed. It's closed. You're captivated. You're seduced. It's like a claustrophobic room. Nothing but your breath and her breath. Your eyes and her eyes. Except one other eye, which is Satan. Three eyes now. Not two, three eyes. إلا كان ثالثهما الشيطان. Except that the third of them is the devil. Now, when you're with this person, oh, where do you work? How are you going? Are you Secretary Sandry? Where can I drop you off? And, you know, are you enjoying that place you're going to? And then the talk begins. And then we mentioned the beautiful hadith of last week, which is the devout worshipper. Slowly, slowly, the arrows became sharper and sharper and sharper until when? That arrow became too sharp and thus destruction befell. And this can happen right here. At the end of the day, you are not allowed as a taxi driver to be alone with a woman in the car. You are not allowed. There is no excuse. You are not allowed to take a man, if you're a taxi driver, to somewhere that is unlawful for him to go, even though he's a kafir. You are not allowed to take him to a place like King's Cross, or to a pub, or to a club, or to a disco, or to any devilish place. This is not allowed as a taxi driver. So in reality, can you taxi drive? It's very restricted, very restricted. At the end of the day, مَنْ تَرَكَ لِلَّهِ شَيْئًا عَوَّضَهُ خَيْرًا مِنْ ذَلِكَ. He who leaves something for Allah, Allah will exchange that which he left for something better. Put the trust in Allah Ta'ala, and Allah indeed will give you that which is better. 15. Women who go to Hajj and travel without a mahram, husband or mature male relative. As we mentioned last week, a lady is not obliged to go to Hajj unless she has a mahram, unless she is able to go. And among the conditions of her having that ability is to have a mahram. If she has no mahram, you are not allowed to travel. You are not allowed to go. Wallahi, even if it was to Melbourne from Sydney by aeroplane, to go to Melbourne, 1 hour flight, she is not allowed to go on her own. She is not allowed to go. Anything that is considered travel, a lady is not allowed to go unless she has a mahram. So going to Hajj on her own is forbidden. Even though she's got a billion pious ladies and a billion men who are righteous, if none of these men are her mahram, she is not allowed to go. Finalization. That is the Islamic law, and that is what we worship. Number 16, mingling between the male and female students in the classes, in the universities and schools. Nusrallahu al-afiyah. He mentioned this one, but it's a very dangerous one, is it not? Is it not a dangerous one? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Astaghfirullah al-azim. This is a matter where every single one of us have taken lightly. Have taken too lightly. You want to educate your wives in a devilish way, and you leave the Islamic way. But. This is the excuse. It's always, but, I need her to be to a doctor, a teacher, a bis, a bat, a shaitana. Because that's all she is. That's all she is. No matter how pious she is, she goes to university, and you, oh man, allow her, you are a cuckold. That's all you are. There was no other word for her, for you, and there was no other word for her, for disobeying Allah Ta'ala. Think about it. Think about it. Be logic, be rational, have common sense, think about the situation. A lady is sitting here, she's your sister, she's your mother, she's your daughter, she's your granddaughter, she's your niece, she's your wife. And then next to her, whether in front, behind, there, is a man. With an earring. Whatever he is, I don't know if he's a man, but he's got an earring on. And he speaks like a man. Can you allow your sister or your wife or any other female responsibility to be in that class? Can you really think about it? You're a Muslim man. You care about your female responsibility. You care about her. Wallahi, if you allow her to go there, you don't care about her. You're a liar. An L-I-A-R, a liar. Nothing else. And beyond that, you are a cuckold as well. Because if you allow your female responsibility to enter a room where there are men in that room who she can see and they can see her, and there's a man teaching her even worse, who is likewise of tight jeans, 501 denim jacket, earrings coming out of his head, and then he's teaching your wife? He is teaching your wife? Person like him? You're saying you want her to be taught by a person like him? Now come on. What have you reached? What have you reached? There's a group out there called the Female Liberators. And they are the Muslim sisters we're talking about. It just has come up now. It's an innovative sect in Islam. A new sect. This is genuine. And this sect follow one idiot, without mentioning his name, who he himself allows them to have beach or swimming parties at his house. In by bathing suits, costumes. And they're destroying our sisters in Islam, these sisters. They're learning from this evil source, and these sisters are becoming modernized to what they believe is Islam, liberation. It's allowed. We are allowed to learn. We are allowed to go out. We are allowed to be free. We don't have to listen to our husbands. We can be whatever towards our fathers and our brothers. And they are full. These sisters are taking over the universities today. Wallahi, there are many, many cases that have come to us recently about these people who are twisting the truth, distorting the facts of Islam in the sisters' minds. Sis, brothers, think about it. Just the fact that your sister goes, or your mother goes, or your wife, allowing her to mix with men, is it right? Where in Islam is this? Just give me one narration, one, that allows one. When Aisha would walk to the masjid, she would cover herself from the man, cover her face, fearing that a man might look at her. When Fatima was asked by her husband Ali, What is a righteous way for a lady? He asked her, what is a righteous way for a lady? How can a lady be pious? She responded to him that she does not look at men, nor do they look at her. Now, when you're in that classroom, what is happening there? What is happening there? Brothers, sisters, think about it. Think about it. Many sisters, wallahi, have become an Islamic and have apostated because of this issue. Many. So look, there's no really real need for us to go any further in the topic. It's understandable. It's understandable. It is not allowed. It is not allowed. And it's not my saying. It's the saying of the scholars. Scholars did not differ about a woman going to university where there's mixing of men. They allowed her to go where there is a university who is only for ladies. This is not a problem. Even there, they make conditions for that person as well, regarding the university she's going to and so forth. But they did not differ about a Muslim lady going to a university in the West where there are men there, or in the, wherever, in Islamic lands, where there are men as well. They differed about the man going to university. The man, not the lady. They differed if a man's allowed to go to university. A man, not the lady. So the man, likewise, do not take this lightly. It's not only the sisters, it's you yourself as well. Yourself. Don't think you're safe from the situation. Just as the ladies are not allowed, scholars have differed regarding you. You're a Muslim as well. You've got conditions and rights against you. Number 18, the mingling of some students who study in other countries with Western families and living with them in one home. I think they call it exchange student, is it not? or there's another thing that's called the pen pals, foreign exchange, and that is un-Islamic, where they allow students to go overseas, or over from there they come to here, and thus they enter a family for a month or two, or for as long as it takes for them to finish the course, and they live with them as though it is their family. This is haram. Or the pen pals, likewise, it's not acceptable. Pen pals are when you start, it's the pen where you start writing letters to a person overseas, or she writes or he writes to you. This is not allowed in Islam. This is a kufr way, not an Islamic way. The call for sending women abroad for the purpose of continuing their higher education. This leads to the fact that these women adopt destructive Western ideas. It's another evil practice that we see. When she finishes from the minor devil, she goes to a major devil. And they're all devilish. But it's like she's advanced into another devil now. And when our devils are of different sort of levels. So from one devil to a larger devil. Number 21, mingling of male and female students at the higher levels of education with the claim that this is necessary for specialized studies. Haram. 22. These are all haram here. It's not like it's allowed. It's getting us the prohibited ways. 22. Male instructors being alone with female students in working on university theses with the claim that this is necessary for supervision in conducting research and preparing the theses. This is haram. Even though he's your professor, or he's a PhD person who's doing his thesis, and he has been obligated to take care of you while you are doing your thesis, whether it's the master's or the PhD or any other thesis, you are not allowed to be with this person independently. It is haram, no matter what the reason is. Under any circumstance, you are not allowed to be with this male. The call to attend various lectures, poetry sessions and conferences that are given by women or men, and where men sit side by side with women. This is un-Islamic, as we all know. Ladies are not allowed to sit besides men, and they are not allowed to sit besides the men, are not allowed to sit besides the women, and so forth. So this is as well haram, and we see this in the actual the theatres, the lecture theatres, where if it's not mixed, it's side by side. This is not Islamic. This is not Islamic. As the hadith mentions that the distance the lady is, the more Islamic it is. So the ladies in reality in Islam should be behind the men. The further the better. Not close to the men, not side by side the men, but far from the men. And this is the Islamic etiquette for congregating between men and women. This is allowed. You are allowed to have ladies. For example, the ladies in there today, tonight, they, if there was an area in the back, they can sit in the back section without any veil. There is no harm if that permitted it in this room. So this is allowed, but you are not allowed to sit close to them, side by side, or so close that they can exchange their vision to each other. As one sister in university, I was doing a lesson there, she goes to me, "But how are we going to find our boyfriends?" I said, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim." This is a sister in university. A university student, in other words. 25, female nurses and female doctors mingling with non-related men, even if those men are also nurses and doctors. Just because you're a doctor or a nurse or a scientist doesn't mean that you are allowed to mingle with the other party. It is not allowed. See, there's no excuse here. You got no excuse. No matter what you are, how you are, what occupation you do, you are not allowed to mingle with the other sex under any circumstance. There is no allowance here. There is no allowance unless that which Islam allowed. The male doctor being alone with the female nurse or female doctor, not allowed. Not allowed. The woman uncovering herself for a male doctor without any need or necessity, or while there is a female doctor available. Many of us go to doctors, physicians. We may need to go to see some kind of treatment for our sickness. However, we do not go to the female doctors if it's a male person unless there is no male doctors. Likewise, your wife or the female does not go where? to a male doctor unless there's a real need for that. And if she goes, she must have a mahram with her. If there's no mahram, she is not allowed to go. So if she goes to a male doctor and there is no female doctors except him to treat her with that disease or sickness, she is allowed to go there. She has to have a what? A mahram with her. And when she goes there, she does not uncover except that which she needs to uncover. For example, when she's in the room with the doctor and her mahram, she doesn't say, okay, hijab's taken off now, he's a doctor. No. Doesn't work like that. She's not allowed to do that. He is allowed and only allowed to see that which he needs to. There was a situation that was taken that happened not long ago. A elderly lady, she has niqab on, and she had an ear infection. So she went to the doctor. She asked me if I'm allowed to do this. Before she went to the doctor, I said, of course you can go to the doctor if there's no one else but him. And she was, it was a necessity. And there was no female doctors at that time, and she was really in need to go to this person. So she went there, and pious lady, we think of her best. The doctor said, okay, then can you show me, can you take the hijab off? She goes, no, I won't take the hijab off. I don't have a problem with my face or my head, it's my ear. She unveiled her ear. She goes, here you go. You can see my ear. That's the problem is, and only here. It's okay then. He responded. That's all he needs to see, her ear. So you only limit it to that which is necessity. So she unveiled the ear, and he treated her. Take the hijab off, and the dress off, and this and that off, for? Anta abi, anta yani, anta abuya. You know my father? But ladies, many ladies don't care. Women and men mingling freely at parties and on other special occasions. And this happens just about every single day where many people mingle, whether it's at home, whether it's in parties, whether it's out in the park. And even, subhanAllah, we see this amongst the university students again, where they have excursions to certain parks, and they mix, wallahi, they mix. And I think there was a recent excursion in Sydney University where the Muslim organization there organized some kind of barbecue or whatever. They went to a park, and they were mixing as they were brothers and sisters. Related, brothers and sisters, talking to each other, exchanging thoughts to school, what they're going to do in the Islamic sort of, in the Islamic perspective, in their university. This is not allowed. And subhanAllah, why are we doing these things? What is happening to us as people? Where in Islam does this allow us? Why have we changed? Why are we so deficient? Why are we so weak? Why are we allowing this to be? Why? It is not allowed Islamically. Have we reached that state of weakness? Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Because you go to a person's house and you see the mixing of relatives together, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The mixing. Where the two couches, for example, a family is there and a family is there. His wife is with this person, the husband, talking to each other, joking and laughing as though there is no tomorrow. Brothers, sisters, be Muslims. You will be asked about every movement that you make. Every movement. There are many more. We'll continue, inshallah. There's only about 5 or 6 left that look important. I would advise every brother and sister to get this book, inshallah ta'ala, which is called The Mingling Between Men and Women is Prohibited. It's in the bookstore. But we'll probably have to order a couple more boxes. But it is a very, very, very important book. Mingling of women with men at medical laboratories and clinics with the claim that this is necessary for work. Understood. Mingling of women with men at amusement centers and recreational areas with the claim that it is a family day. Haram. Mingling of women with men at restaurants and cafeterias with the claim that they are in the family section. Haram. Mingling of women with men, or women being alone with male store attendants and shopkeepers. Haram. Mingling of women with men in shopping centers, malls, markets, etc. Haram. The woman traveling alone by car, plane, bus or other than that without a mahram with her. Haram. Women allowing male photographers to take their pictures. Haram. Mingling of women with men on innovated special occasions such as the Prophet's birthday, sallam, the night of Isra, and other innovated religious festivities. Haram. As you can see, there are many haram, and this is only basically a minute part of it. At the end of the day, what is allowed, very basically it is very simple to understand that you are a believing male, you are not allowed to allow your wife, your daughter, your sister, your mother to be in the presence of a man only when she needs to, when there's a necessity for it, and that is the only time she is allowed. Is a pizza delivery man allowed to deliver food to a place that he knows is used for haram? Example, a brothel or a club. That's a good question. Absolutely haram. Question. Fadal ya Amr. Salam to Allah. Sorry, Amr. Not only is he not allowed to go to a brothel, sorry, bro, but he's not even allowed to go to a house where he believes, he knows, there's only a lady there. So you can't even exchange a pizza on the door between you and a lady when there's no one there at a house but her. This is not allowed as well. So understand the situation very carefully. You are not allowed to be in the presence of any lady on her own. Even if it is delivered a pizza, whether it's Domino's you work for, or Pizza Hut, or Pizza Plus in Bankstown. Called Pizza Plus, or something like that. It's Halal Pizza Plus, I think it is. Is it Pizza Plus? You haven't been there? Good pizzas. No, I'm not. The halal too, you get that beautiful meat on it. Because, you know, we're deprived, walillahi alhamd, from going to Pizza Hut and getting that big super supreme. But over there, you can order the super supreme. No matter what he puts on, alhamdulillah, it's halal. So is it super Pizza Plus? You're from Bankstown? Fine, sure, is it? No. No. No, I'm not. The halal too, you get that beautiful meat on it. Because, you know, we're deprived, walillahi alhamd, from going to Pizza Hut and getting that big super supreme. But over there, you can order the super supreme. No matter what he puts on, alhamdulillah, it's halal. So is it super Pizza Plus? You're from Bankstown? Fine, sure, is it? No.